I knew before I got here.
Today is March 30th, 2017, and we're going to open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today we will be holding public hearing on HB 5017 Legislative Assembly, followed by Legislative Council, and I guess we'll start it. Betsy, Tim, if you come forward. And for the record, before you begin, please state your name so that we can make sure that we give you all of the credit or.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Betsy Imholt, and I'm Chief of Staff to the Senate President. This is Tim Inman with me today, Chief of Staff to the Speaker of the House. Mr. Co-Chair, I'm here today to talk about the Assembly's budget. The Assembly is one of the seven branch agencies that you've been hearing about within the legislative branch. The Assembly is made up of the 90 members' offices. I think you're familiar with that part, probably most familiar with that part. The Secretary of the Senate, the Chief Clerk of the House, the two presiding officers' offices, that's where we both work, and then also the four caucus offices. That in total makes up the Assembly. The CSL for 17-19 for the Assembly is $46.5 million, and the FTE is 251. It's 423 positions, however, because as you are probably familiar, we have a lot of part-time and also a lot of seasonal workers because of the nature of the session work that we do. Of all the branch agencies, the Assembly is by far the largest. We have the most employees and the most general fund budget. I'm going to hand it over to Tim, who's going to talk about the process going forward.
Co-Chair Manning, for the record, Tim Inman, Chief of Staff to the Speaker of the House. I'll be talking a little bit about the overall branch budget process. So late last year, the presiding officers directed the agency directors to come up with reduction lists of 5 and 10%. In addition, they were asked to develop POPs with strategic investments for their particular agency. As is not a surprise, those lists came back and are focused on a reduction in services due to loss of staff, and on the POP side, very targeted increases in specific functions within their agencies. Over the next period of time, as the presiding officers work with LFO to come up with final recommendations for the committee, what we will be focusing on are kind of two key elements. One is increasing access to the Capitol by the kind of continued increase in number of folks wanting to participate in the legislative process. And then secondly, enhancing safety here at the Capitol, which over the last year we've already taken strides both with the CAMS project effort to move state police up onto the first floor, in addition to the hiring of additional state troopers for the Capitol. We look to come back to you all for approval of a balanced budget based off of those very kind of narrow goals. Happy to take any questions.
Questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Gomberg.
Legislative Assembly, what are our key performance measures?
They're real simple. Your reelection. No, we are one of the branch agencies. We don't have any. That LFO doesn't set them.
So. Thank you.
There we have any other questions? Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Not so much a question, but more of a comment. You know, the safety of the citizenry and the elected officials in this building, I'm pleased that you're making that a high priority. I don't know what that balance is between security in the building and public access, but that has been a constant on my mind, and so I'm pleased to know that you folks are thinking about that as well. Nothing would be more tragic than for that to be breached, and so thank you for thinking about that.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to close a public hearing on 5017 Legislative Assembly and open a public hearing on HB 5017 Legislative Council. Mr. Dexter Johnson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Manning, Co-Chair Smith, and members of the subcommittee. Good afternoon. I'm Dexter Johnson, Legislative Counsel. And I'm going to be talking very loosely based on this document that you have in front of you, but basically I hope to give you a short and straightforward report about the Office of Legislative Counsel, which I know in many respects you are very familiar with. But there are some other aspects of it that perhaps you aren't, so I'm going to give you a brief overview of what our office does. And essentially, we are the law firm for the Legislative Assembly. We draft all bills and amendments that you formally consider, which in a two-year cycle is approximately 4,000 bills and 5,000 amendments to those bills. Answer your legal questions, whether it's in the form of a formal written opinion or based on a phone call, email, or conversation. You ask questions on an enormously wide variety of topics, and we aim to answer those questions in a objective and well-reasoned response to you. We also provide general counsel services. These are the kinds of legal activities that go into kind of the day-to-day operations of the Legislative Assembly as an ongoing concern, like contract review, public records request, management and processing, HR issues that may crop up from time to time, or other matters like that. We are staff for the Oregon Law Commission. The Law Commission has its own staff as well, but we provide drafting services to them. And in addition, we also provide drafting services for state agencies during that period of time preceding the long session. State agencies are required to request our services in preparing the 450 to 500 bills that they will present to you for your consideration during the session. And finally, we engage in an administrative rule review process where for all of the approximately 1,000 rules that the executive branch agencies will adopt or amend in a calendar year, we review them. Our review is quite limited, simply to ensure that they are within the intent and scope of enabling legislation and otherwise are otherwise constitutional. And so typically for the 1,000 rules that we review, we will maybe flag 50 or so that have problems in our opinion, and we'll discuss that those concerns with the agency and typically get that resolved that way. Those are the functions that the attorneys are, in our office do. There are 22 attorneys, and I think you're fairly familiar with all that, but there's an additional part of our office, the Publication Services Division, which you may not be familiar with, and they are composed of 20 legal editors and 4 word processing specialists. And they assist in the regular work that I've just described to you. When one of the LC attorneys does that kind of work, it is then goes to our publication services unit, where it is independently reviewed by 2 editors, and so that we get it in as perfect a shape as we can before delivering it to you. And then in addition to that, the Publication Services Unit really takes the lead in another component of the work of our office, and that is preparing the ORS in our other legal publications, the ORS you see the example of behind you in the corner. And when you are done with the regular session, when all of the legislative measures that were before you have either been enacted or failed, that portion that are enacted first go to the governor or to the people for approval or rejection, and the governor has 6 weeks to to veto or approve measures. And then it comes back to Legislative Council, where our job and the Publication Services Unit really takes the lead in this, is to compile all of those changes into a codified form and edit the existing ORS and incorporate all of those new changes. It's a very mechanical process. It is approximately 16 weeks long. I said the Publication Services Unit takes the lead, which they do, but the attorneys also play a significant role in preparing this. And I'm laying out the timeline because one of the factors is that given the governor's six-week period after session and then 16 weeks for us to complete that work, the timing is very tight. We have to complete the changes that you made in the long session, get that incorporated into the ORS and into the ORS database before we can begin preparing any bills for the even year session, the short session. Typically, it takes us until December 1st, and that's when we begin immediately work on the even year session and the 500 or so bills that you ask us to prepare for that. The session, the even year session, as you know, is between 4 and 6 weeks long, and there are about as I said, 500 bills and about a little shy of 1,000 amendments to those bills. That's typically completed by the early March. Then there is a little downtime, and then we're back to agency drafting again for the next succeeding long session. So in a nutshell, that's what our 24-month cycle is like and what our staffing needs, staffing situation is right now. I guess if there's a message that I would like to convey in this presentation, it's that there's a need for us to respond on a very timely basis and on a very with a very high quality product to do the work that you ask of us. And that can happen only with robust staffing at Legislative Council as there is now. And when we have that kind of robust staff that is experienced, we can provide the level of service and quantity of work that you ask of us. That's really the essence of my message to you this morning or this afternoon. And I think the only other thing I'd like to touch on briefly is our key performance measures. Those are actually on page 43 of the big binder, if you care to take a look at them. But they are based on a customer service, customer satisfaction survey that Legislative Administration conducts every year. And that's for all of the legislative service agencies. And our results on that are this time and consistently have been that 93% to 94% of respondents have in all of our four key categories found our services to be either good or excellent. And that's something that we have performed at that level for many years, and I hope to continue to provide those services to you. And with that, that's my comments. I'd be happy to.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Questions?
Dexter, talk to us about staffing really quick. Do you have any difficulty recruiting attorneys, CPAs? Do you have difficulty retaining them? Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Co-Chair Smith, the hiring market for attorneys for the past decade or so has actually been excellent because there have been too many attorneys being produced by law schools throughout the country. And so we have been able to hire some really excellent folks and maintain them on a 24-month you know, going forward, period.
Excellent. And can I just follow up real quick? And I'm assuming within that you're able to find those attorneys with the right expertise to handle the multiple subject areas that we deal with here?
Co-Chair Smith, we have had good luck in that regard. All of the attorneys do specialize in particular subject areas, and generally we don't hire attorneys unless they already have demonstrated experience in the areas that we're looking for when they come on with us.
Senator?
I might just make the observation that I think LC does a remarkable job with a building full of folks who have varying degrees of experience in interacting with lawyers. They are able to sort out when a guy brings down a shoebox full of ideas and says, please spin this straw into gold and bring me a bill guaranteed to garner bipartisan support and pass unanimously.
That approach has worked for me for 18 years.
But the point that I'm making is that I really think this is a remarkably well-staffed, well-run operation that is able to respond to doing some incredibly complicated drafting. And the thing that bothers me right now is that a couple of the really big things that will come before this session, the concepts have yet to even be presented. And we're asking people to do some heroic work in not very much time. So I applaud the office for doing as well as they do.
Thank you, Senator.
So, any other questions for Mr. Dexter? Yeah, one co-chair.
Just really quick, as co-chair of this committee, I want to echo Senator Johnson. You folks are A+ and do a great, great job. And please send our gratitude back to your staff.
If you didn't take so much time on Smith's bills, maybe you'd have some time for the rest.
Well, I won't answer that question, but I will take the kind words back to staff. Thank you very much.
Well, I too, I guess all of us from all of us up here will echo the same thing. I recall I just sent a document down, and you, in the words of Senator Johnson, you spun it into gold and came back said that this is a good bill. And I was very happy because the bill was given to me by a young man that works here in the building by the name of David Bing. And apparently David has been trying to get a bill for a long time. You made it possible, and David and I gave testimony on that bill, and it looks like it's going to move forward because of the work that you and your staff have done. So I really applaud you and thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other questions? No other questions, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I have one, and I apologize, colleagues, for missing the Legislative Assembly. Running that hallway from the Senate side over here is a gauntlet, and I got waylaid. I don't know to what degree the big co-chairs are going to give you co-chairs ability to move money in between different subject matter areas. But I have wondered for a long time about the staffing within the caucus offices. And I know this is heresy to even bring it up, but I'm curious to know whether or not the staffing levels are appropriate, whether the year-round nature of the work has been analyzed carefully. And it's something that I would commend for your consideration as chairs of the committee to be able to take a look at it. To what degree those people in the offices serve the body or serve the presiding officers and the minority officers has been a source of some wonderment to me.
I think Co-Chair Smith and I, we're right now, we've received some marching orders from the big co-chairs on what they're looking for, but that's, I hadn't thought about that, but I think that's important to carry into the conversation as well. Thank you. Any other comments or communications? If nothing, I got to say this has been an excellent week. I wield this gavel quite a bit, and I'm having fun at it.
You're getting us done early.
Yeah, and yeah. See what I'll do for you. Give me the gavel, and I'll get us out of here early.
Yeah.
So with nothing else, we are going to adjourn, and we will reconvene on Monday at 1500 hours. That's 3 o'clock for civilians, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Good job, Mom.
Thank you, sir.
Good job, Mom.
For civilians, and we are adjourned.